Hello.
I'm Kendra.
And I'm August.
And you're listening to Book Dumb, the bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
This week, we are talking about some of the books that were disappointing or just did not live up to the hype that we saw on Instagram, on Bookstagram, or just anywhere else online or in person. So we're talking about our 2021 disappointments, only book related, because if we got into everything that disappointed us in 2021, that would just take too long.
Yeah, that would be a whole series. Anyway, we also have quite a few books that left us feeling a little bit, not just disappointed, maybe enraged.
I would say that that is very fair.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in particular, where if anyone knows me, they probably know what it is, but
definitely.
We'll save that for the number one spot.
What will it be? Before we dive in, would you like to tell me what you're reading right now?
Yeah, so I actually just finished listening to the audiobook for Station 11. I did this as a book club read. It was set up by the lovely Jess Decker from Jess Decker Reads on Bookstagram. And we did this for the television show, which just started coming out, I believe, on December 16th. Could be wrong, but I finished it last night. You told me in advance you loved this book. I think you talked about it in one of our first episodes of this podcast ever. I listened to the audiobook, absolutely loved it. 4 or 4.5 out of 5. I did just finish it though, so that rating is subject to change, but really, really loved it.
Yeah, that was featured in my top 5 of 2020. I love that book. I also read it in a time where like I needed to read pandemic fiction. I don't know why, but that was really cathartic for me during the peak of the pandemic.
I could not even imagine reading it at the peak of the pandemic. Reading it now, there was times at the beginning where I was like, is this going to be too much? Is this going to be too traumatizing? But I made it through and wow, it was definitely worth reading.
Yeah. Genuinely, I think it would be harder to read it now for me, having flashbacks to the beginning, where before I was all like, I'm living through this hell. Maybe I'll get some tips. I have no idea. This is worst case scenario. We're not there yet. So it makes me feel a little bit better.
I mean, fair. Hopefully we do not get there. Everyone get vaccinated. Do you want to tell me what you're reading right now?
August, I would love to tell you that I'm reading something highly intellectual, but do you know what I spent my morning reading this morning?
What are you reading?
I read some Draco and Hermione fan fiction.
Hey, that is academic. That is of intense literary value.
Considering that it's like 200,000 words, I mean, I didn't read all of that, but I read quite a bit. I took a big chunk of my morning. Yes, I have made better choices for myself in the past. It is not the healthiest ship, but it's been a week. I've had a stressful week. And I was like, take me back to 7th grade when this is all I would do on Tumblr.
Wow. Go to archive of our own and just have a blast.
Ooh. Ooh. Luckily, it showed up on my TikTok. And I remember when it came out, like it's a very famous one. I'm not going to say it out of shame because I'm afraid someone will look it up. And it is not suitable for anyone under 18. I will just say that.
AKA what we were all reading in 7th and 8th grade on Tumblr.
Genuinely, what I was obsessed with as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. And I was like, I forgot that existed. I'm going to go find it. And I was like, I'll just like skim it. And then I got into a wormhole. And there are books I'm supposed to be reading right now that I'm not reading because I was reading fan fiction.
I mean, fair and valid. I feel like we've all been there before. So I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
Thanks. I probably won't finish it. I got shit to do.
I mean, you might.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows what the future will hold?
I feel like we're sort of just like putting off this discussion. I'm personally afraid of offending people. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm a little worried. Some of my picks I know are popular books in the literary canon and then also just popular books among fans of those that read books that came out this year and recently. I think we should just let everyone know, like, we're not saying that these books are truly awful. I'm going to say that one book is truly awful, but they just weren't for us. Like, maybe it was like the format in which we read them. Like some of them I listened to, maybe I would have liked more if I read a physical copy, or maybe it just wasn't hitting right in that time. Maybe we read something really good before it and it caused a reading rut. Like nothing against these books. They just didn't live up to our expectations.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. I agree that one of my books, maybe not just one, I think is unequivocally a bad book. Other books just aren't for me. They're just not my taste. I had a bad time. And so this is a disclaimer. Be like, we're sorry if we hurt your feelings. It's not our intention. This is just authentically what we were disappointed by or didn't enjoy this year.
Yeah. And just for me personally, I did not go back and research any of these books. I think it says a lot that some of these books we picked, I mean, we read them this year. We don't remember a lot about them. I don't know. I think that says something about the book and my reading experience. So I'm just going to leave it as it is. But we each have 5 picks as well as 3 honorable mentions. We will not include any spoilers in this episode because, to be honest, as I was just saying, some of the books I truly do not remember what happened. So how can I spoil it? But yeah, that will be this episode.
Are you ready to dive into some honorable mentions?
Yeah. So we each have 3, right?
Yes, I have 3.
Okay. Do you want to share with me your first honorable mention?
Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. The reason this is an honorable mention and not a main one is because I don't think this is a bad book. As we've said, I just really did not think it was worth the hype where everyone was like, this is one of the best books I've ever read. I thought it was okay. I was very underwhelmed.
I think that's fair. I mean, I saw that book pop up all over the place this last year. And I mean, it's kind of hard imagining that books can live up to that hype. Not saying that they can't. They definitely sometimes do. But I don't know. Was not compelled to pick that one up. My first honorable mention is similar to how you were feeling about yours. Saw it everywhere. Was really excited to read it. And then it just fell a little flat, and that's Bunny by Mona Awad. This book is just fucking weird. If you look it up and talk to anybody about it, they're just going to talk about how strange it was. There was definitely parts that I really enjoyed, and then parts that I just was like, why am I even reading this? I could be reading something else right now. So
totally
Mona Awad's Bunny. Yeah.
Totally agree with that. Up next for me is The Wife Upstairs by Rachel Hawkins. That came out this year. It was a new release, and it's a modern retelling of Jane Eyre. And honestly, skip it. Truly, genuinely skip it. Don't waste your time. I thought it was really bad. I think it might be the worst written book I've read this year, just technique-wise. Rachel, if you're listening, super sorry. I know you're a number one fan of this podcast, but do better, please.
Love that. Okay, so my next one. I also am shocked that you have like a genuinely, or what you feel to be like a genuinely poorly written book, because it seems like both of us have been like trying, or not trying, we've been like hitting it like on the mark with so much of our reading this year. So it's a little shocking to hear about a bad, or in your opinion, bad book. My next honorable mention is Roanoke Girls by Amy Engel. And we did like a kind of a half episode on this with some vacation reads as well. It was like an easy mystery. I didn't really have any expectations for it, so I wasn't like disappointed, but it's one of those books that you just have on in the background. It's not going to impact you. But also the commentary around Roanoke Girls online is really gross. So that's another reason why I listed it here.
Interesting. I would love to get more into that one-on-one.
It's in the episode. You don't remember? There was like a whole bunch of blogs talking about how it's a book that has a lot of trigger warning incest included. And somebody online was talking about how it wasn't incest and assault because one of the characters is very attractive. And I'm like, that does not exit out the assault and the incest just because somebody is deemed attractive in society's eyes. But wow. Okay.
I must have blocked that out.
Not saying that Amy Engel, the author, said that. It's just people online have said it.
Of course.
Gross.
Ick. Okay. Speaking of ick, another honorable mention is The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay. This was not it. This was not just a book for me.
Oh, this wasn't a book for you? Oh, interesting. Hmm.
Not a book for me. I am just going to stop there. For reasons that will eventually become clear throughout the episode when August begins talking. But the reason
so fucking much.
I know.
I genuinely hate it, but I'll get into it later.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a bad book. But the reason it's an honorable mention is because it's going to show up somewhere in August's list. And I just didn't want to. It would have been in my top 5 for me as well. But you'll get enough information from August. And I wanted to diversify the conversation a bit.
I will be kind and also let you rant and scream about that book because I feel like it truly does not deserve the hype that it has, but we'll get into that later. And my last honorable mention is another book that we have covered on this podcast, much like Roanoke Girls, and that's My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. I'm not saying this was a bad book. I'm just saying that I had certain expectations for it that I don't think were reached. I know that we have a full episode on this, so you can definitely go there for more information. But I don't know, just kind of fell flat for me. I was expecting maybe more Lolita or just Nabokov references, and I didn't get my fill. So there it is.
I will say there were a lot of Nabokov references in that book.
But do I need more?
Probably.
Always.
Okay.
Always. Fair. Yeah.
Fair.
And again, not saying that that's a bad book. Like, I enjoyed reading it. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It just, with how much it was like put on Instagram and like how it was absolutely everywhere, I wanted a little bit more from it.
Yeah. It's also a very traumatic read. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. That's a fun honorable mention list. I wonder what the main list will be.
Well, we have each 5 picks up ahead. Are you ready for it?
I'm fucking ready. I woke up ready to rant about these books, and I wasn't sure which ones were going to show up. I knew I had a list of 10 that could show up, so I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I'm just really happy that we're doing this episode.
I'm so excited. I love doing our more ranty episode. It feels, not that it our other episodes don't feel like just our one-on-one conversations, but this is what you and I do with each other a lot, so it's nice that we're able to record it and put it out there.
Yeah, this is definitely like the best representation of who we are as readers, where we love to rant. I might flip a table at some point.
Fair.
We will get there. But I will, should I get us started with our main list?
Oh, I would love for you to. What's your number 5 for biggest disappointments of 2021? And you can't list yourself for each 5. You have to talk about books, babe. It's okay.
Damn, drag me for filth. It's so accurate. It was a disappointing year. Anyway, I digress. I'm so sorry to list this book. I genuinely wanted to love it. So this is always the tough part. But my number 5 greatest disappointment for 2021 is Mexican Gothic by Sylvia Moreno Garcia.
This almost made my list too. So I'm just going to back whatever you have to say.
Thank you. It's okay. So quick, hopefully as accurate as I can deliver summary. This is set in 1950s Mexico City, if not very close to Mexico City. It's for sure in Mexico. Noemi receives a letter from her cousin. Her cousin is Catalonia. You know that facts are not my thing. I'm doing the best I can. But the main plot is that her cousin says that she's in danger and her husband is poisoning her. And Noemi's father, who is like rich as fuck, is like, Noemi, you need to go and help your cousin, not because we care about her well-being, but because she's annoying the fuck out of the family because she keeps complaining. So go there and keep her from going crazy. We have an image to uphold. So Noemi gets there and things are very mysterious, very gothic. It's a very modern take on the classic gothic tale. So if you've read Jane Eyre or Rebecca, this reads a lot like it, but to be honest, it's a lot less interesting, I think. And I gave this 3 stars, which I think is actually quite generous. I don't think it was a bad book. I want to reiterate, this is not a bad book. I still think it's worth your time, but I think you should lower your expectations going into it, because I had incredibly high expectations since it was just everywhere. It was trending. It like broke some records for like sales in the first week. It was incredibly popular. And I remember the writing did create a lot of vivid imagery that was often uncomfortable, intentionally so. And I loved that part. And I think there were moments where the writing was actually incredibly strong. My issue with the book was the pacing. It was so slow. It was so slow and it was very predictable. It's like 300 pages and you spend the first 200 pages with like the slow burn setup. And by the time it gets to the climax, it's a brief climax, a very choppy resolution. Feels like, that cliche where they just force everyone to kind of work out. They force everything to kind of just work out. And I was able to figure out the twist within the first 50 pages. So that would be fine. Like, I'm totally someone who can be like, I got it, I'm along for the ride, no problem. But that was like the only plot element in the book. So it just felt like there was very little plot. And the characters were interesting, the atmosphere was interesting, but I wanted more from the plot itself.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fair. Again, I almost put this book on my list for these exact reasons of what you're saying. And I feel like the only thing that kept me from putting it on this list was there's a genre shift that takes place at one point. And this isn't a spoiler, but it goes into something that maybe you weren't expecting. And I thought that was cool. Would I read it again or recommend it to somebody? No. If it was just the first like 100 pages, maybe. But I don't know if that shift was done in a way that was really effective in my eyes.
Okay, so you're saying that you didn't enjoy the genre shift. You felt like it should have maintained?
I wish that it maintained, but I will say the genre shift was cool. It was an interesting idea. I just don't think it was executed very well. Mm. I think that maybe if the book was a little bit longer, and I know this kind of goes against what you're saying with pacing, not that a longer book is necessarily long paced. A long book can be quick as well. But I feel like if it was longer and maybe things were built up a little bit more, maybe a little bit more foundation, more scaffolding could have helped with that shift and made it a bit more powerful.
I hear that. Yeah, that's fair. So what is your number five disappointment?
Okay. Well, it's a book that we read together. It's the first book that I read by this author ever. And it's Then She Was Gone by Lisa Jewell. And a lot of people hype Lisa Jewell up as like a queen mystery author of the modern day. I'm just going to say, I don't know if I see that. Again, this is the only book by her that I've read, and it was not for me. As somebody who loves a good mystery, I don't know, fell flat, incredibly predictable, probably the most predictable book I read this year. In fact, I'm going to say it was the most predictable book that I read this year, because you could tell from the first like 30 minutes of the audiobook, and I did listen to this, so putting that out there. The audiobook was fun. It was an enjoyable like background book to have on while cleaning my kitchen, but was not one that I had to pay serious attention to enjoy. It's definitely not one I'm going to be turning back to. I don't think I'm going to ever pick up a book by Lisa Jewell ever again. I know Kendra is saying that her other books, or Kendra's told me that her other books are pretty comparable or worse. So I'm just going to say Lisa Jewell isn't for me. And just some background on Then She Was Gone. This is a mystery / family drama about a family dealing with the aftermath of one of their children going missing. So sounds right up my alley. Sounds a lot like, oh my God, how am I forget? Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng, which I think is a perfect book. I would recommend that one over Then She Was Gone any day. But yeah, it just was not good.
Yeah, I think the only slightly redeeming quality of this book is it's very cozy, which is not what a mystery is supposed to be. So,
yeah, listening to the audiobook and having the great variety of English accents and just English cozy culture, I was a fan of. But again, it's not what I was wanting. It was like combining, like, what is that book, 84 Charing Cross Road, with like Everything I Never Told You. And I was like, this just doesn't fit for me.
Totally fair. Totally fair point. I would agree with a lot of that.
Yeah. Basically, everyone should just go read Celeste Ng instead. Well, right. What's your number four?
Okay, so this is a book called The Collective by Allison Galen. It came out very recently. I just read it a month ago. I think it came out just a month ago. And it follows Camille, who is our main character, and she's grieving the loss of her 15-year-old daughter. I think she's 15. She's a teenager for sure. And Camille, the mother, alleges that her daughter was murdered by the scum of the earth, say it with me, a hyper-privileged white boy with powerful parents. So Camille is not believed. She's often undermined. She's gaslit. The media, even some of her friends, the entire internet makes her out to be like an unhinged Karen, because she often like freaks out in court and is like screaming that this, I should stop here, trigger warning for sexual assault. Explicitly, a lot of this book goes a lot into violence done unto young women, specifically by like incredibly privileged men. So Camille alleges that her daughter was raped and then murdered by this college kid who's a frat boy. I think his dad is like a politician or a judge or something. You know, stories that we hear all the fucking time. And in Camille's desperation, she stumbles upon this organization called The Collective, which The Collective is a group of parents who have lost their children to tragic circumstances and who are seeking revenge. So they work as like they work systematically to help each other get revenge. Like if, you know, August wants to commit murder against her daughter's murderer, let's say I don't know August, I'm in The Collective, I get details that I can't figure out where I just know that I need to drive this car and not stop, or I need to put this car into the water and let it sink, and there's someone locked in that trunk who I just murdered, but I don't know it, so I can't be like, I can't be held accountable for that. They can't tie me to August. And so it's like an organization that works to get revenge. And it's super interesting concept, right? Ha, psych. So it's a great concept, poor execution. So my review is I gave this 2 stars. I didn't have incredibly high expectations for this book. I could tell just by from the idea of it, it was just going to be a fun ride, fun concept to explore. And it, of course, on the front, it had fans of Gone Girl. Should have known. I've learned my lesson from that multiple times. I should know better by now. But I didn't. I read it. And overall, it just wasn't interesting. Like that, I wish I could articulate that better. The plot was just like bare bones. Like basically everything I told you that's on the back of the book is kind of what's explored. And that just, there's no depth there. And there's no character development. The main character, I know she's grieving, but she's just so annoying, just so annoying. And all in all, like, I wish I could get into my biggest beef about the book, but it's a massive spoiler, so I can tell you August off air if you want, because I don't think you should waste your time. But anyone who wants to know, who doesn't want to waste their time reading it, I would love to rant about this. I think it ruins the entire concept. There are some things that we like to say that you, I'm not even get into it. It's such a big spoiler. It like spoils the entire book, but it's awful. It ruins it. If you enjoy it up until that point, it makes me angry. So yeah, that's it. That's my rant.
Fuck! It sounds like such a great idea for a book. And then, because like when you're talking about it, I'm like, are we sure we're recording disappointments right now? Is this not 2021 favorites? Like that sounds tight. Like Camille, give me Camille Preaker. Like, is this Sharp Objects? What? But then, well, that sounds terrible. I'm sorry that you had to experience that.
I will give a very vague, not spoiler, but just if you're someone who doesn't like to forgive and forget, you are not going to like this book.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we love people that hold a grudge. So
there's some things you can't just forgive. You really can't. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Well, what you were just talking about goes along kind of perfectly with my next pick. Is it okay if I share it?
Please go off. Go off.
Okay. So my next pick is The Women in the Window, or The Woman in the Window by AJ Finn. And I'm not going to say that I had high expectations for this. I expected it to be like maybe a 4 out of 5, a 3.5 out of 5. And oh boy, was it not good? And then, wow, is AJ Finn a piece of shit, in my opinion? Look it up. He's trash, in my opinion. But yeah, not a fan of this one. I read this because the movie came out this last year was Queen Amy Adams, who I love, and I'll watch anything that she's in. Did not end up watching this because apparently the movie was just absolute trash. So I'm glad that I didn't see it, but I do love Amy Adams. I was incredibly disappointed in this book. I listened to the audiobook and it opens up with some great film noir references. And if you know anything about me, you know that I am such a hoe for classic film noir. I love it. I think it opens with a quote. I think it opens with a quote from Shadow of a Doubt. I could be wrong about that.
You're right. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A stellar film, just great references throughout. Like, I love the Double Indemnity content. I wish there was more of it. Loved all of the references throughout, but this mystery fell so flat and was so predictable. It was so boring. And I had an idea going into it that it wasn't going to be the most compelling mystery, but I thought these allusions and references to movies that I love and these tropes that I love would make it a really fun and enjoyable and engaging read, an enjoyable audiobook to have. And there were so many times where I just spaced out and was like, this is boring. Why am I even listening to this? Why is Amy Adams in this movie? She probably had a contract with some studio and then had to do it, but whatever. I just really did not like it. I found it to be incredibly predictable. I saw no character development or character growth throughout. Again, the protagonist of this, like what you were just saying, Kendra, about your protagonist, it's a woman dealing with intense grief, and I'm not going to judge her for her response to things for this, but damn, she's a boring character. She just has a really good taste in movies, and that's fine. You can be boring and have good taste, but that doesn't mean that I want to read about you. And oh boy, did I not want to read about her at a certain point. And honestly, I probably could have DNF'd this, but I haven't DNF'd any books so far this year, and we're recording it on December 17th. So I don't think I will, but I could have with this one. Just really did not like it. I'm just going to give some background on AJ Finn about why I think that he's a shitty person. He lied about his personal history, lied about personal illnesses and his educational history. It just seems like he's very comfortable with not presenting the truth to people in ways that will benefit him, which I think is a very scumbag thing to do. And that's not somebody that I would personally want to support in any way. So I will not be reading any more of his books. And I probably will not talk about The Woman in the Window or think about it ever again, because I honestly forgot that I read this book this year. And then I was going through my StoryGraph and my Goodreads accounts, and it was there. So
I agree 100% with everything you just said. Like, I can't rubber stamp it enough. This would have been on my list as well, the top five list, if I hadn't completely forgot that I read it. So that should tell you everything you need to know about this book.
Very fair. And again, I thought it was going to be so cool. I was so excited with all the noir references. I thought there was going to be like great voyeuristic content. And no, it was just bad. I think everyone should just go watch Rear Window instead.
You heard it here, folks.
Or Disturbia.
Ooh. Wow.
But pirate it, because you don't want Shia to get any money.
I know. We love FKA Twigs. We love her.
Yes. Okay. Well, do you want to share your number three with me?
Oh boy, do I ever. Okay. Yay. So this is Bossy Pants by Tina Fey.
I knew you were going to put this on here. Wow, age poorly. Not good.
Yeah. I have some thoughts. So this came out in 2011. We are 10 years past that date. I'm trying to extend some grace to the author. However, hard to do. So this is a comedic memoir from Tina Fey. This is very, very early in like the genre of comedic memoir. So I will give that to her. She didn't originate it. She for sure was not the first person to do this. I think her and then Amy Poehler's came out like the next year, the same year. It really popularized that genre, I think, for the mainstream. So, and it's 10 years ago. I know it's hard to hold people to standards of today. However, it did not age well. I gave this a 2 out of 5. Honestly, upon reflection, maybe a 1. I was enraged reading it. I listened to the audiobook because I always like to listen to memoirs as opposed to reading them. And much like Tina Fey, this memoir is outdated, tone deaf, and just not as funny as it was 10 years ago, which I was such a big Tina Fey fan growing up. We watched her on SNL. I just, you know, 30 Rock, we loved her there. That show has not aged well either at all.
I think I'm just going to interrupt really quick. I think the only parts of 30 Rock that we can enjoy now is anything with Kenneth. I'm just going to say that Kenneth, I hope that he's okay because I love that actor, Jack McBrayer, but yeah, that definitely did not age well.
Yeah. And this, I just thank you for saying that. The memoir is very much the same. It's homophobic. It's racist. It reads so much as like a formulaic, what word am I thinking of? Uninspired take on feminism. I know I say feminism loosely, but it's her particular brand of feminism.
I know. I was about to say, can you even call that feminism?
It's super white feminist. I mean, as Tina Fey has been critiqued historically for being positioned in that, like an I would say unoriginal, not doesn't have a lot of critical thinking, no introspection at all. Its feminist stance is positioned within a hyper-capitalist society. So all of her empowerment, any moments where she feels like she's taking down the patriarchy, or, you know, she's breaking glass ceilings or whatever, are so rooted in her professional and financial prowess, which is elitist. There's really just like no self-awareness there in a lot of the points she's making. And she specifically, like, she girl bosses the fuck out of condescending men. And I say girl boss in quotations. This is, if you're looking for gaslight, girl boss, gatekeep, this is the book for you.
That is so true. Put that on the fucking cover. Wow.
It's just like so fucking annoying. And I think maybe it was interesting in 2011. Maybe it was. I didn't read it in 2011. I was so young then. But there are a dozen of these exact type of comedic memoirs that are done so much better that succeeded her. One thing I'm thinking is Ali Wong's memoir. So much fucking better. Read that if you want comedy and you want to touch
Dear Girls, we love it. We love it.
Yes.
Big fan of that. Yeah. Tina Fey also just like, fuck you. Like, why do you think blackface is so funny? Yeah. You still fucking do. Remember her video after her SNL appearance after Trump won the 2016 election? Fuck you, Tina Fey. Fuck you.
Fucking sheet cake skit after Trump won or something. I was like, there are people who actually died because of his. I can't even get into it.
She's just so fucking privileged and so fucking oblivious to everything going on. It just is enraging. I'm sad that at one point I loved 30 Rock as much as I did. I'm glad that we are past that as a society, or a lot of people are past that as a society. Hopefully more people get to that point. I mean, if people want a comic memoir, again, Ali Wong's Dear Girls, hilarious. Also, anything by David Sedaris.
Yeah.
Push that out there. Support him and Amy Sedaris too. Just go watch Strangers with Candy. Come on. It's so fun. Come on.
Okay. Enough of fake feminism. August, what is your number three pick?
I'm kind of scared to say.
Do it.
Please don't hate me, internet. Please. I really wanted to like this book. I wanted to like it so bad. I was so excited to read it. This is one of the books going into 2021 that I was just stoked to get to, because I knew some people that read it that absolutely loved it, and I trust their opinions of books. This one just fell flat for me, and I truly cannot remember really anything that happened in it. Like, I forgot that I read this book this year, and that's The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr. Please don't be mad at me. I know a lot of people like this book, and your opinions are valid. I'm sorry. I just truly don't remember what happened. I was really excited getting into this book. One of my goals for this year was to read a lot more queer literature, especially queer literature written by LGBTQ plus authors. And this was one that really like made me want to have that desire to read about my own community and like have that after having the experience that Kendra and I both had of, you know, being in school, reading a lot of straight white people. So this was a major book that I wanted to take on in 2021. And I was so excited and I was so ready for it to be one of my favorites. So many people compared Robert Jones Jr.'s writing style to that of James Baldwin, who I just love. And I think his writing has so much beauty and power in it. And not that Robert Jones Jr.'s writing doesn't have that beauty and power. I definitely think from what I can remember, there were some very powerful and beautiful moments in The Prophets. But I truly just can't remember what's happening in this book other than it is a queer love story between two enslaved men and the world around them and what's happening at that time, which I think is a very important story, and I'm glad that this book is out there and exists. But I don't know, I just, maybe it was because I listened to the audiobook of it, maybe I like had read a really great book beforehand. This one just truly fell flat for me. I probably will read another book by Robert Jones Jr. I'm going to give him that other chance just because people did love this book so much. But again, I mean, I read this book just a couple of months ago and I truly cannot even remember what happened. We were going to do an episode on this book and both of us just were not feeling it. Yeah, I just feel bad because I just really wanted to like this book. And this is probably one that's like truly one of the biggest, I know it's in our disappointments episode, but like, it was just such a disappointing time to read this. And I don't know, feel so let down in a way. I don't know. Again, if you like this book, your reading's valid. I just wasn't for me, didn't connect with me. I don't know.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. I've been like nodding and snapping, you know, like silently. It was tough to not like this book. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. So I just, in solidarity, I'm totally with you.
Yeah. And we were talking about this book when both of us were reading it. And I can kind of understand why you didn't like it, because you're not the biggest fan of American literature and like American history and novels. And like, I love American history. I don't want to say I love American history and American literature, but like, I do love American literature. American history is super corrupt and awful, but it is interesting to learn about. And like going in with that, I was like, oh, I love American writing, especially in the style of James Baldwin. I want to have this experience of learning about this history in this way. And then just didn't live up to my expectations.
I'm with you. I really didn't connect to it at all. And it was super hyped.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful looking book, just not for me this time around.
So I know that was a book that you were just like, not for me, maybe for others. Can I talk about a book that I think is absolute garbage?
Yes, please. I want to hear all about it.
Deep breath. So this is Lore by Alexandra Bracken.
Knew it was coming. Excited to hear the rant.
Let me just say, this book is awful. It came out this year. I was super excited for it. I will get into why. But in this book's world, there's a competition, and it happens every 7 years. And it happens because to punish the main Greek gods, those Greek gods are forced to walk the earth as mortals for most of the year, or most of their life. And then every 7 years, they get their immortality back, and they have all this they have all this power. And during this like competition, there are people who are descendants from them who have the opportunity to kill them and earn their powers and basically be the next god. And it's a bloodbath. Everyone's eager to kill the dog. What are words? I'm stumbling all over the synopsis. They're eager to kill the god and like take their power and basically whatever. And it's also like a thing of honor with among the family. So like, if you kill a god, then your whole family is lifted into like prestige. And so there's this boring bitch called Lore, of course. Her name's Lore. And she was exiled as a child because her whole family was murdered, and that sucks, but she does not shut up about it ever, like unrelenting, complains about that. And of course, it's just like a basic chosen one narrative. So I've given you the brief synopsis of like what this game is. Who do you think participates in this game now that you know the main character? Very predictable. And, you know, Athena shows up, which was cool at first, but then gets really annoying. And there's this unbelievable romance and some other shit that I honestly just can't remember. I just was bored. I almost DNF'd it. It took me a month to read this book, and it's not written well. So I need to take a breath. Okay. I'm just getting too worked up. I gave this a 1. I thought it was so bad. And I say this with the utmost disrespect in my heart. This book sucked. It sucked so badly. I was foolishly excited about it. I pre-ordered it. I paid full price. It was sold to me as Percy Jackson meets the Hunger Games. And it genuinely was like, I don't know, what can I compare it to? But it's like Dan Brown's version of the Son of Achilles. Like, uninformed, boring. Sorry if you like Dan Brown. Maybe Stephanie Meyer, who we love the Twilight series. It's camp, but she sucks as a writer. Is that mean? Am I being insensitive?
I mean, Stephanie Meyer did a lot of things wrong. So, yeah, I think we can diss her writing abilities, considering she dissed so many different groups of people. Talking about her treatment of Indigenous peoples in the Twilight saga. Cough, cough.
Yeah, it's just a bad book. And I'm sorry if you like this. Like, okay. You know what? I'm not sorry. Cancel me. This book should be burned. I'm like suddenly very pro censorship when it comes to this book.
Wow. Fahrenheit 451. Who? I'm sorry. Is this the book burning? I remember how excited you were when you pre-ordered this book. This was like January, early this year. You were so stoked. And then I just remember coming over to your apartment and seeing it like in the same spot, untouched. And I'm like, I mean, it's, I mean, can I diss the cover art for a second?
Yeah,
because I
yeah.
want to. It's so ugly. It's like, I mean, I know cover design is hard, but is it really that hard? Do you have to release a cover that ugly? I don't know. I'm not a fan of it personally, not for me, but yeah, I just remember your ongoing disappointment, and it's not going to be a book that I ever feel any need to pick up.
Yeah, this is one. There's some books on this list where I'm like, I might still recommend it to certain people. I don't care what your interests are. Don't waste your time. Don't read it. And if you like this book, just keep it to yourself, because that's embarrassing. This book sucks. I'm sorry. This feels like I'm getting too angry. I'm sorry.
Your feelings are valid.
Thank
if you.
You
hate a book, that's okay. Everyone likes different things. So
I would love to hear about your number two. Also, how fitting that this book was number two, because it was shit. Sorry. What is your number two?
I love that for you. Wow, I feel like we're in third grade. Hey, okay. So my number two, let's just say that 2021 is the year that I discovered that I just don't give a shit about David Mamet. He's just not for me. I really wish that he was. I have tried to read a number of his plays. He's just not. If you don't know who David Mamet is, imagine a shit ton of testosterone and cocaine in the 80s in New York City. Just, you know, toxic masculinity, usually stuff that I enjoy reading about, because for some reason, I don't know, I like books by shitty people. I just like to be angry with myself. That's why I like Hemingway and Joyce. I'm sorry, please don't hate me. I already hate myself. But Glengarry Glen Ross is my number two. This was a play by David Mamet that I have been meaning to read. I wanted this to be the first David Mamet play that I've read. I read my first David Mamet play probably 3 years ago. So it's been a while, and I've given him a fair shot. I've read two or three of his other plays. The only one that's coming to mind right now is Oleana, which now that I've said that out loud, I'm not even sure if it's a David Mamet play. Who knows? Not me. I don't care. But yeah, Glengarry Glen Ross is my number two. You might know this for the very famous film adaptation that I think Alec Baldwin's in. That one guy who's in that TV show that all the dads like, Kaminsky Methods in it. I don't fucking know. He's like an Alan fucking Alda type, but probably not as nice as Alan Alda. I don't even know if Alan Alda's nice. He just seems like a nice guy. I don't know. I've seen MASH sometimes. I don't know. It's just word vomit at this point. Glengarry Glen Ross came out in 1984. It's just not good. It's a bunch of stockbroker bros just trying to steal money from poor people and from not poor people. It's like that one part of The Wolf of Wall Street by Martin Scorsese where they're selling all the penny stocks and ripping people off. That's this whole play, but it's not nearly as fun because you don't get to see Jonah Hill being Jonah Hill, being a cool guy. I don't know. Maybe if Jonah Hill was in this film adaptation, I would like it. Who knows? Not me, but I just didn't like it. I don't like the film adaptation either. This is just reeking of toxic masculinity and not in a fun way. I feel like all of his plays read that way for me, especially Oleana. And I think the other play of his that I've read is The Spanish Prisoner, but I could be wrong about that. It's just too much toxic masculinity, just, you know, rich white men being gross towards others, being gross towards themselves. It's a lot of aggression. It's just not what I need in my life. And I'm glad that I've come to a point where I realized that Mamet is just really not for me. And if you like him, that's okay. Maybe go to therapy. Things will be okay. But yeah, he's just not my guy. He's just not that guy.
Not that guy. Like the way you said that. thank you for saving me time. I wasn't interested, but now I'm definitely not.
You would definitely hate Mamet. I think that you would hate Mamet probably more than you hate Hemingway. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, well, I will definitely not be reading that.
Yeah. Imagine if Hemingway became a stockbroker in 1980s.
Ugh.
That's the vibe of Glengarry Glen Ross. But Hemingway is also, I think, just a much more talented author.
I can barely handle just the aura of Marina Bros in 2021. I can't imagine dealing with like 80 stockbrokers.
Context, should we give context of what Marina Bros are for those please, who don't live in the Bay Area?
Please give us a definition.
So there's this area of San Francisco called the Marina. And if you're a rich asshole bitch, if you're a techie, you probably live there. It's where Nancy Pelosi lives. And Kendra and I are both very, very liberal. Can we say that we hate Nancy Pelosi? Is that fair to say?
Fuck Nancy. We're progressive as fuck. Like, so she doesn't She's a Republican to us, to be honest.
Yeah. Complete trash human being. Her house is there. So just imagine people that probably identify as Democrats that really like Nancy Pelosi. That's the vibe. I've heard some slurs used in that area by some, you know, rich techie families, you know, very, very close-minded for the Bay Area. It's just, you know, rich people that think they can really get away with anything because they historically have. So that's Marina Bros for you.
Yep. I will say I'm a passive person. I do not like conflict. The only fights I've ever gotten into on public transport are Marina Bros refusing to wear a mask. So that's where we're at.
Fair. Totally fair. And yeah, that is the vibe of Glengarry Glen Ross, which is, I know, I'm just going to say, like, American Psycho was one of my favorite reads of this year. I know we haven't even recorded our favorites of this year so far because we always have to start with our disappointments. And that's also about 80s stockbrokers. But Bret Easton Ellis, even though he's a garbage human being through and through, writes so much better than Mamet, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He's just not my type of playwright. I'm sorry if you like Mamet. He's just not for me.
It's fair. Super fair.
Okay, well, are we up to your top disappointment of the year? Your number one?
If I could do a drum roll, that'd be obnoxious. I would. What a big surprise it will be to you. It is The Secret History by Donna Tartt.
Fuck you.
Really, you and the rest of the internet, honestly. I'm definitely going to get a few DMs about this. So
your feelings are valid. They're just also kind of wrong. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I've never so deeply ideologically disagreed with someone. This is not a bad book. I don't, other than like my number two, which I think is an awful book, I chose this one as number one. The reason that Secret History beat Lore as my biggest disappointment is because I genuinely wanted to love it. Like, I really did. And everyone else on the internet seems to love it. I feel very isolated all the time when I'm hearing stuff about this. And one of our best friends, Emily, this is one of her favorite books, and her and I have very similar tastes. And this just was not for me. This was painful to read. I would not have finished it if we hadn't planned to do an episode on it. I almost didn't. I texted August to be like, do I need to finish this to do the episode? And August, ever gracious, was like, no, you're fine. And then I was like, no, that will be embarrassing. I would rather finish it and have actual critiques of it so that I could have a discussion with you. And so the summary of this book is it's a bunch of undergrad students, which is obnoxious to me, and they're studying classics, and there's this guy named Richard who's from like the middle of California who moves to the East Coast somewhere in Vermont and goes to this liberal arts college that's highly competitive for the classics program. He eventually joins this cult-like group with this cult-like figure of the teacher who's actually not that present, and lots of dark things ensue. So this is very famous in the dark academia genre. So if you're familiar with that genre, this is the entire aesthetic of the novel. I think it popularized the genre. It of course didn't originate it, but it, in my opinion, this is what I think of when I think of dark academia. Do I need to go on? I hate this book. I really hate it. It's a generous 2 out of 5 for me. Just a straight up, it's a no from me, dog. Like, not interested in it. I think, look, I am not better than this book. I am not better than the people who love this book. I can guarantee, actually, that I'm dumber than 50% of the people who love this book. It's just, so this isn't a high horse thing. I just fucking hate this book. I think it's a scam, and you're all just gaslighting me into saying it's a good book. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay, well, what were you saying earlier about gaslight?
Girl boss gatekeep.
Yeah.
That's what you're, the whole entire world is doing that. They're all conspiring against me in this book.
Donna Tartt, you know, she gave us her red pill and we were like, hey, is it red pill or is it blue pill?
Genuinely, I have no idea.
Matrix is premiering tonight in San Francisco. Keanu is here.
I know.
At Castro Theater.
This is our chance to kidnap him.
I haven't even seen John Wick, and I know that's a bad idea, so.
Don't watch it. It's too traumatic.
I know something bad happens to a dog, and that just turns me against it forever.
Yeah.
But I think your feelings are valid. I don't agree with you. I do agree that there's a lot of problems with secret history. I feel like if it was written now, hopefully some of those would be addressed. Like the main thing, we talk about this in our episode, is it's a very white and a very privileged and classist novel. As I think that dark academia novels often are, not saying they always are, but I think that's like a common element. But yeah, I liked it, and I want to read more of Donna Tartt's writing. Also, she was friends with Bret Easton Ellis at the time, author of American Psycho, before he became a human garbage fire.
Yeah, I think, again, this is like, it's a well-written book. I think this definitely is a book, there are certain people in my life I would recommend this to. I would think of you immediately. I know you love this book. Emily loves this book. My gripe with it is I hate the characters, and not in a fun hating way, in that like I genuinely don't enjoy being around them. The incest part, which comes, there's incest at one point. It feels weird, forced, unnecessary, and just gross. Not that incest is ever like fun, but it just felt to me like especially.
I mean, it's, some people might disagree with you for the Game of Thrones moments alone. Not that any of those were ever fun, but maybe fun to watch. I don't know. Not the actual incest, but like the interactions. I don't know where I'm going from here. I'm just thinking about Jaime Lannister.
And Cersei. Yeah, complicated.
Don't want to think about Cersei. Not a fan of her.
Yeah. I also just felt like the writing style was incredibly pedantic, which I think was the point. It was supposed to feel like elitist and inaccessible, because I think that was her critique of the whole department. But it just like wasn't fun for me. The plot wasn't fun for me. The ending was interesting, but not interesting enough to like redeem it. And very controversial opinion here, the only person in the entire book that I was attracted to was a psychopath. So I know that says more about me than it does about Donna Tartt or the book.
Her has a devil fetish. We're all very, very aware of it. I just did the biggest eye roll when she said that. If you've read The Secret History, you know who she's talking about. Her and I get into it in the episode.
Yep.
Again, just trash taste in men.
That's so true. Just sure my fictional men are the most toxic men in the entire world. But that's it. I hate that book. I'm going to pass it off to August for her number one, because I know she's fucking ready to rant.
Oh, am I ready? I just thought that I was still on mute, and I was upset at myself for being on mute, because I am ready to yell. My number one is a book that I have been complaining about since I read it earlier this year, and I feel like I have taken every opportunity to complain about this book. I was genuinely excited. I went out and bought this book new so Kendra and I could record an episode about this. We were both disappointed. It already came up on her list. Here it is, number one on mine. No surprise, it's The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay. What a trash trauma porn book. I am still enraged. I keep going back and changing my review on Goodreads because I just get so angry. I was like, start thinking about it, and I'm like, I need to add another paragraph here because I'm upset and I need to share this with the world. So The Great Believers is just some background. It is a book where there are three different timelines of events happening. There's like 1920s Europe, primarily France, and the art scene there. Then there's 1980s Chicago, getting into the horrors and the pain and trauma and death that came with the HIV/AIDS crisis. And then modern day Chicago, where a character is reflecting back over their life and their relationships. In context with that summary, it sounds like something that I would love. Again, we get 1920s art, hello, love it, give it to me. We get 1980s queer love and queer life. Hello, very important history that needs to be shared and needs to be talked about. We had a president during this time that completely ignored a pandemic in this country and across the world, similar to what was happening during the Trump presidency with the early COVID virus. Like, come on, really fucking important. And then here we are with a straight white woman writing this story. Not that somebody has to be a member of the LGBTQ plus community to share these stories, but I don't know. I just think she's really gross. Also, she has a caption on Goodreads for her book where it's something, I'm gonna actually look this up because it just makes me like unreasonably mad. Let's see.
Is it the one about her husband?
Yes. She like brings up, okay, let's see. I just think that it's just so, ugh.
It's, I agree.
Let's see what Rebecca Mackay's comment on this is. She rated it 5 stars And she said, only giving this 5 stars because I'm married to the author's husband.
So clever.
Wow. Okay. So you're like, I don't know. I don't want to presume her sexuality or anything, but like straight passing person talking about your straight passing marriage on a book that deals with specifically trauma that really impacted the queer community seems a little tone deaf to me. And also you're talking about actual history and an actual events that took place, but you're not bringing in any actual people from this time. You're not acknowledging them in your acknowledgments at all. So you can acknowledge that you're married to your husband in your review of it and not talk about the thousands of people who died and are still dying because of this and because of our initial response to this virus as a country. The homophobia and racism that went into the response to this virus, are you going to talk about that at all? Like, yeah, you kind of get into it in your book. You talk about like when the good drugs come out and how this was so ignored by our government, but you're not going to actually acknowledge like the actual impact that this virus had during this time period and then continues to have today. Seems a little fake to me. Seems a little trauma porn to me. In fact, seems a lot trauma porn to me. It seems like you're capitalizing on this like very specific trauma that of course did not only occur to members of the queer community. This is still like a global pandemic that we are fighting. The HIV crisis is still very real. But I don't know, it's just read wrong to me. I was like enraged the entire time I was reading it. There's so many notes in my copy, which I immediately got rid of, that just said like, why is a straight white woman writing this story? Why are no people that actually experienced this or survived this or didn't survive this mentioned throughout? Like, where are you getting your history from? Like, can we mention some of your sources? And yeah, it just, it makes me so mad. So I'm just going to say that everyone should go out and read some books by Lenny Kramer. I think that he is one of the most important voices that you can listen to from this time. Not saying that he's the only voice, but he is a great reference to go to and to find other resources as well. I think if you're interested in the content of this book, let's say you read this book and you really enjoyed it, let's go focus on some actual people that made a difference in our world and watch the documentary, How to Survive a Plague. That's a great one. Really, really love that. It's a fantastic documentary. You can also, yeah, I know Kendra loves it too. You can also just do some research into what ACT UP has been doing over the last couple of decades. I'm looking into different organizations from their webpage as well as a great jumping off point. Also, a lot of people compare this book to A Little Life, which I also think is wrong. And I think
it's homophobic, like, actually.
It's homophobic, yeah. I think the only thing that this book has in common with A Little Life is it shows a strong and close male friendships. And those friendships are often held between queer men. And I think to say that books are similar just because they have queer characters that are friends is limited and reductive and really says that there's not much else going for our lives except for our sexualities and sexual identities. So yeah, I'm just going to say that I think that's pretty limited. You can disagree with me. That's fine. Everyone has different opinions. I'm just focusing on this from, you know, actual human history and the wrongs that I think that it's done. I think it's done a lot more wrong than it's done right. I will say again, I think it's important that this history be brought to attention. And I'm glad that this book was popular so it could be brought to more attention. But I feel like it was handled in a very inappropriate way. And I'm just going to say Rebecca Mackay like fully engaged with trauma porn here, in my opinion, and just did not cite any of her sources or cite any people that had an actual impact on what she was writing about. And I just think it's really disgusting. And I'm going to continue to believe that, just not a book that I enjoyed at all, like at all, at all.
Super fair. I would agree with all of that. Yeah, she profited off of the historic pain of the queer community.
Yeah.
So, and I will say, I know Nancy Reagan was trending this week. If anyone else is on Twitter, August, do you know what I'm about to bring up?
Yep.
The throat goat.
Yeah. So apparently she gave great head, but you know what? Her and her husband also ignored plagues happening in their own country.
Yep.
Nancy Reagan was also friends with a lot of notable gay men at the time. And then once that presidency happened, was just like, hey, fuck you. So fuck you, Nancy Reagan.
She's done awful things, including that. And so like everyone, I know everyone on Twitter is like, it's so misogynistic to like limit her to all the head she gave to executives. But I was like, actually, yeah, maybe it is, but she, I think, is her and her husband are responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands. Like, they're...
Oh, Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan fucked up this country in so many ways, and we don't have to get into this now. I lived in the area... I went to high school, actually, in the area where the Ronald Reagan Library is, which is in Simi Valley, California. And fuck the Reagans. I just hate them so much. I've never gone there and I never will. But if anyone wants to go piss on their graves, go for it. They're in Simi Valley, California.
Absolutely evil humans who, yeah, we can't even, yeah, garbage. I mean, most politicians are, but
yeah.
Yep. Anyways.
I mean, what was Reagan's story? Let's make America great. What does that sound like? Who else ignored a plague? Yeah.
If you're interested in learning more about the Reagan administration, and the awful things they've done, The Dollop is a podcast, historic comedy podcast, that does a 2-episode series on the Reagan administration, and it really gets in deep about how the Reagan administration really preceded, in a lot of ways, was the model for the Trump administration. So, very enlightening.
Yeah, and you can also go and do research of what Reagan was up to when he was governor of California. Specifically, I would recommend looking over how he fucked over our community college system. So just another thing to focus on of the evils of that piece of shit man. I don't believe in hell, but if I did, I would hope that he's burning in it.
Woo! What a fun episode
that we just
did.
I will take any opportunity to shit talk the great believers in Ronald Reagan. So
yep.
It's a 2 boxes checked for me.
I hope this was enjoyable for anyone who's listening. Sorry if there happens to be a favorite of yours on our list. I know The Secret History is a favorite of many, so I'm already anticipating a few not so nice, DMs. But it is what it is. That's how it goes. Dissent is always welcome. Dissent is encouraged, so it makes the world better. But please be kind, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I hope that you've enjoyed it as well. Again, I feel like we've been saying this since day one. Everybody likes different things. Everyone's feelings are valid. So if you didn't agree with our picks, that's totally fine. We still want to hear your picks. Or maybe if you loved one of the books that we talked about, let us know what you loved about it. Maybe we'll look at it in a different way, trying to keep open minds, except for great believers. I'm not going to keep an open mind about that. I'm sorry. I can't support it. But that is our episode for today. We hope that you enjoyed it. We're going to have some other 2021 wrap-up content coming your way that we hope that you enjoy. Let us know if there's any content that you would like to see. You can reach out to us on Instagram at BookDumbPodcast. You can also reach out to us individually on our independent Instagrams. You can find me, August, at Iggy Poop.
And me, Kendra, at Kendra Lap. And of course, like, we love to hear your opinions. I hope you enjoyed this episode. So do let us know if you have other disappointing reads you want us to avoid, like the plague. We for sure will. Thank you again for being understanding as we need to skip some weeks towards the end of the year. We're both tired and overwhelmed and kind of going through some stuff as we adjust it through life. So thank you for, as always, being kind and supportive. And we look forward to having you back with us next week. For sure, we'll have an episode coming out next week.
Yeah, so we're very excited for our yearly review episodes that will be coming out. We're really excited. We're prepping for our favorites of the year as well as our reading bracket. If there's any other year wrap-up recordings that you would like for us to do, please let us know. And while you're here listening to this episode, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, why not go ahead and follow? We really appreciate it. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, why not leave us a 5-star review? Hey, it's the winter holidays. Give us a little present. We love to see it. Give us a 5-star review if you have the time and you want to. Also, if you have a moment, we really appreciate written reviews.
Yeah, and tell someone you like about the podcast. You know, someone else maybe who, whether they're into books or not, I hope that this will help them and will be interesting. But thank you so much for listening. We appreciate and love you.
Bye.